Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
And good evening. Welcome to Talk Straight. This is yours truly, your host, Reverend Dockery, who are happy again. I'm happy to be here with you and to share in another hour and a half of proactive dialogue. For those of you that may not know, Talk Straight is an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in efforts to reach a national audience. Our weekly topics focus on real issues confronting families. And we also focus our attention on conversations that are germane to real life issues. And we engage various experts on topics or subject matters from time to time. But most importantly, we open the phone lines for you, our listening audience, or provocative conversation. I do hope you'll join us. You can do so tonight, live on air. Share your comments, your questions as we go through our discussion by calling us right here at 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. That is our studio line. Feel free to call us and join us in the conversation. Tonight's topic, we hold these truths. The United States Constitution offers certain freedom to all of its citizens. Its preamble speaks of truths that are self-evident. Thank you for joining us on Talk Straight, where yours truly will open the airlines, the airways rather, for real conversation. And again, you can call me here at 657-383-0944. Our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, is joining us tonight, and we will hear from him undoubtedly throughout the show. But as you know, we take time to provide some sort of context for our dialogue every episode, and I'll do so tonight. You've heard what our topic is, and what we want to do is when we walk away, we want to have some frame of reference for the information that you received tonight. St. John, the 8th chapter, 31st and 32nd verse, reads very simply in this matter. Then said Jesus to the Jews, which believed on him. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. According to Webster's dictionary, the word truth, T-R-U-T-H, is defined as the quality or state of being true, that which is in accordance with fact or reality. A fact or belief that is accepted among others as being truthful. Evident. In the study of epistemology, which is the study of theory and knowledge information, scholars accept the concept of evidence as a self-evident proposition, is one that is known to be true by understanding its meaning without proof, and or by ordinary human reason. So these are simple things that can be seen and experienced by anyone of a common experience. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are established among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. This is an excerpt from the United States Declaration of Independence, authored by Thomas Jefferson on July the 4th, 1776. The founding fathers of this nation we call the United States of America seem to have functionally defined manhood, quote unquote, as a requirement of American independence. This is evident by the wording of the preamble to the Constitution, or the Declaration, I should say, of Independence. Right? It suggests that all men are created equal, and it goes on further to suggest that they have certain rights, and that these men have the right and authority to establish government, a system of rule and order among themselves, and that that government only has power of those who give it power. Hence, the concept that in the realm of men working together or manhood, and the idea of being independent in the United States of America, manhood is a framework there. The close of the American Civil War brought opportunities for many, the North, the South, and even foreign countries, but specifically for the newly freed Negro male, at that time they were aptly called, there was an opportunity to become now recognized free and active as an American citizen, as a man, in the context of American independence, as I just described. Perhaps the greatest frustration, however, experienced by those as a whole who have been identified or perhaps currently identify themselves as Afro-American males historically, is the challenge of fully being recognized and respected as a man in America. As we look at the history from 1865, when slavery formally ended, up to this present point, we see that there are many case studies where men have had their manhood challenged. Some have went to war. Some have went to jail. Some have went and started organizations. Others have died. But the fight was over recognition of their manhood. Unfortunately, in 2017, too many young males never see the ripe age of happiness for a man. When we look at chattel slavery as it was practiced in North America from 1619 to 1863, when the late President Lincoln decided that by presidential executive order he was going to take human beings who were forced into slavery from southern states in order to gain control politically over those states. This economic institution lawfully, that being slavery, prevented most males of Afro descent from doing certain things. And what it did was to restrict them from all of the rights entitled to men as defined earlier by the founders of the Declaration of Independence that we just read about. As you can imagine, even after they were set free, 1860, the 14th Amendment defined and assured rights of citizenship and rights to be treated fairly, and 1870, the 15th Amendment, giving them rights of suffrage or votage. Even still, there were challenges for them. The question became, how is it then that men of Negro descent in America exercise the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, especially so when, for the sake of profit and social control, those universal rights had been stripped from their ancestors that were endowed by their creator, so says Thomas Jefferson. I would argue that today the real challenge for young people, and we talked about on last Tuesday the millennial generation, those born in 1980, essentially the challenge that they face today, African-American millennials to be more specific. But most importantly, where we are today is where not only males but females struggle to find a place of happiness. Now, before the show is over tonight, three things I want to answer. And I hope my panelists and any of you who will call us tonight here at our online 657-383-0944. Do not hesitate. Feel free to call. If you have substantive conversation to share, we will hear your position. And what we will do is balance that with the facts that we just laid out in our monologue. And we will come to some conclusion before the end of our show. But give us a call, 657-383-0944. And my endeavor is to address the fact that there is a challenge in determining the quality of life for a free-thinking individual. We want to look at the struggle to remain free, to live according to one's own dictates. I'm going to address those things. And we want to deal with the struggle to economically afford personal pursuits, individual happiness. I'm happy to share with you again in this dialogue, and I want to tell my friend here, Pastor Waller, how you doing, sir?
I'm all right, sir. How you doing there, Pastor Dockery?
Well, we're doing great. We're doing great. We're grateful for another day on this side.
Yes, sir.
Now, you heard my monologue. Where did I go wrong?
Man, you're always on the target, man. So, you know, there ain't no going wrong in when you're going right. You know,
I'm
going to, you know, to come in and to strip you from what I know you're standing on. So I just thank God that you're always having something to put on the table. And it's about the word, what it says, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then you talked about earlier utilizing the scripture according to St. John chapter number 8 in verse number 31.
Right. That's
verse
right.
31, well, you know, and I like that part. And if you continue in my word, you know, it said, then indeed, without a doubt, you're my disciple, no question about it. So you can't go wrong when you're doing that. That sounds like ongoing.
Yes,
huh?
Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
So that's where we want to be at, in the ongoing. It's
you
a daily walk.
You must have been in my mind, because that's where I want to start with our discussion tonight, Brother Pastor. I like the way you brought that out. I love the way you brought that out. Watch this. In the text, to none other than those people identifying themselves as Jews, as a part of that tribal, the lost tribe of Judah, right?
Yeah.
And he says, which believes in him. I'm going to assume, Pastor, that somebody either stood up like Peter and said, I love you. Huh?
Yeah. Okay.
Somebody made a promise that you're my friend.
I take that.
Are you walking with me? And somebody suggested that we with you, we down with you. Which made Jesus say to them that those that believe, if, the condition, the word if is a conditionary word. That means that when you are in certain positions and you demonstrate certain things, if you continue in my word, then are ye disciples indeed. In other words, it's possible for you really not be a disciple. Now, our topic is we hold these truths. Were the framers of the Constitution lying when they said that?
You hold these truths, man. I mean, that's powerful, because you're holding on to something that what the truth does when you hold on to it, it makes people free.
Right.
See? You know, so there's something beneficial from that. These are not just words that you can just read and you don't get anything, it's just empty. These are valuable words that changes lives, man. And, you know, I'm just grateful for knowing that you brought it to the table as a reminder to me, you know, if I don't have to continue this way, but if I do, then there's no doubt about being affiliated with him on a daily basis, you see.
Right.
And that's that I love the most is to walk it daily.
Yes,
there's
sir.
No skipping easy when you continue. And I think now I could be wrong, but continue
means
ongoing.
No, I'm walking with you. I'm walking
yes,
with you.
Sir.
I'm walking with you.
I found out that it's continuing means ongoing. It's like nonstop. Yeah. You see? So ain't no skipping no days. You know, talking about I went to church and I was in church for an hour. What about the ongoing part of it? You got 24 hours
in a
day.
Hold on. You're trying to start something now, preacher. Wait a minute.
I'm just traveling. See, when I get on board, I just continue to travel. That word hit me pretty hard when I saw it in there, continue. I said, man, that means you got to continue. Ongoing, nonstop, ain't no sense in talking about I'll be back later on. No, this is going everywhere you go.
Right.
You got to stay walking.
Right.
You got to stay walking this way. And that's a beautiful thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me show you why I brought that up and how we came about this topic tonight.
Okay.
Now, we had an interesting show this past Tuesday. And we had a sweet lady call from Tulsa, Oklahoma. She shared with us very briefly an issue that was going on there that dates back to 2011, where a 39-year-old black male died in a jail. And it was almost as if his jail cell became his resting, his last place, his tomb, if you will. It was videotaped. It was a horrible thing. Now, we were talking that night, Pastor, about African-American millennials. Our guest, Mr. Mario Abney, did a good job. And I think you heard him the Tuesday night. This was part two. He did an excellent job of identifying the fact, and I think you shared that with him, that there are great challenges to being a man, being independent, right, and setting
That's
your course of life as a African-American. Simply because there are so many public interests out there and social interests and pop culture has heavily weighed on and impacted the psychology and the behavior patterns of a lot of young folks, particularly those that were in the so-called millennial generation, as defined by Strauss and Howe. All right? So I picked up there, and this young lady called, and she says, well, here's a case where there was an African-American done wrong, and guess what? Probably like the thousands of cases across America that some have never been brought to the media and to the forefront, so they'll probably never be heard. But here's the truth. When we look at the Uniform Crime Report of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, it suggests for the last 5 years in a row, sir, that when they did the numbers, somewhere around 97% of all homicides in America involved, 50% of all homicides, that's where somebody causes the death of another, involves African Americans. And 97% of the African American involved cases involve black on black crime.
Okay, well.
Now, we can talk about gays, we can talk about lesbians, we can talk about white people, we can talk about Hispanics, we can talk about a whole lot of things. But what we really need to be honest about is what is it that is causing the reverse of what the framers said that you have a right to as an American citizen: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Richard, but it seems to me that there's more killing, there is more robbery of opportunities for liberty and freedom in certain neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And there is no happiness. Where
exactly,
we at with that,
Doc? Well, you talked about being captured. Captivity would cause a lot of those to take place. See, when you are captured and you know you're captured is one thing. But when you're captured and don't know, that's why the percentage is so high, according to what needs to be changed. And only we can do that, you see, without blame. It's about the knowledge and wisdom and the understanding. Let's deal with this particular passage of Scripture, if you will, that I got in my spirit right now. In my spirit, Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 7 states very clear. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. But in all of your getting, understanding.
Some of your getting.
So all of our getting, not most of it or some of it or a little bit or a lot of it, in all of your getting, meaning that if you don't get nothing but just one thing, make sure you get understanding out of it. And
all
my
understanding
is because something is causing it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What and who caused that to take place?
How is it that someone
caused this to take place and don't even be around in our community?
Wow.
So that's what I'm with, you know. And my fight is that I refuse to give up because there was a man inside of a church building that came out of me. And that's the only reason why I won't give up, because I don't want to take anything from his work. I mean, he passed and went on to glory, but yet still, what he left behind was a man that was standing on the corner that he came to see about. And so it's only fair for me to have the same compassion that he had on me, I should have on others. So I won't give up on the hope, you see. Because let me say this, Pastor, if I look at the situation or go according to what I hear about what's going on in our community, then that would be no hope if I said it that way. But I saw in the book, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we walk by faith.
We walk
and
by
not
faith and not.
I want to look at what it looks like and sum it up by saying there's no way things are going to change. I believe that what the enemy means for bad, God is going to get some good out of it. It may take a little longer. I may not even be around here when it takes place. But as long as I do my part while I'm here, that's what counts. So in order for it to change, those percentages to change, we have to continue to reach out with compassion upon the people who don't have a clue. Because I have to realize myself, once upon a time, I didn't have a clue. And I believe that's what's going to work. So I'm grateful that you brought that up. And you're not going wrong. That's one thing.
Let me read from a text that I have here, just for a second. As I began to look back over my past and think about all the things I used to do, from selling and using drugs to pimping women to gambling, just to name a few, I realized my lifestyle was closing in on me. Now, we're talking about life, liberty, and the... I talked to some young brothers not too long ago, and you know what they tell me, Pastor? We're talking about them living a happy life and being successful. Many of them don't know what life is. They don't know where to begin defining life. So how can they reach happiness if they don't even know where... One of the first or quintessential rights of your citizenship is that of life that's followed by liberty. If you're not in control of your life, you're in control of it.
Oh, man, follow me.
Help me with
follow
that.
Me.
Help me with that, brother.
If you're not in control of your life,
now,
and how you
here's the thing. Go ahead.
I wanted to hear how you put that. If you're not in control of your life.
Right.
I mean, that kind of hit me pretty hard. Because
you do know that there are people breathing today, occupying space in the world, but they're not in control of their life. You realize that, don't you? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
I described in my monologue how the perfidious institution of slavery had certain practices physically restricted people of African descent from living life according to their own dictates.
Right.
What's wrong with us in 2017? Something or someone that is restricting individuals from defining their life and determining its quality?
Oh, my goodness.
Are you walking with me now?
I'm right there.
Now, let me hit you with this, and then we'll move forward. But when I look at John 8 and 32, after Jesus set the stage for who he was talking to and the condition, sir, of being a disciple, being a student, a follower, he said this, and ye shall know the truth.
That's right.
Help me, Holy Ghost. And look, he finished it like this, and the truth shall
make you
free.
If you can't handle the truth, you got to watch out for that, because it will make you free. See, that's something I would say, watch out now, because if you stay in the lineup, it will make you free. It don't have nothing to do with whether you want to be free or not. It will make you free.
You're coming down my block, man.
You get in there, brother. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
We talk about young folk who are not in control of their life, and if we want to understand why, consider this. And you know what the number is, anybody want to call. Y'all, come on, get in where you fit in. That number right here on Talk Straight, this is your host, Ruben Doctor. We're going to go for a break in just a minute. 657-383-0944. But watch this, Brother Preacher. Perhaps consider this is a reason why young people are not in control of their life. When we look at and we analyze the word truth that Jesus made reference to, right, and we apply that to even present-day meaning, what we find is that you don't have truth, sir, if you don't have the quality or state of being authentic. Are you with me?
The quality.
Or state of being authentic.
Go ahead.
Right? If
all right.
who you are and who you have been identified as, let's say your mama named your daddy and your mama named you Juju. If who Juju is, the substance of Juju, is not based in reality or what is a quality of being authentic as a character, as a person, guess what? You're living a lie.
You're living a lie.
You...
How many people are living that, man?
Wow.
So I was living, I was living a lie, man.
Right. Listen to this further text in this book on page 35. In desperation, I decided that it was time for me to cry for help. I was in way too deep. I was
not in
now
Not in deep, but way too deep, huh?
I was now abusing drugs that was I was supposed to be selling. Now watch this.
Man,
there are some people that are not selling drugs, sir. They're not selling drugs. They're not using drugs. But they are engaging in things that are life debilitating. And it causes them never to be successful with anything or to go anywhere other than where they started. And they see that my life has no meaning or purpose. It's not based in any real thing. You would think that when you were born, your parents raised you, sir, and they taught you certain traits. They instill certain values in you that help you to identify who you were, what your opportunities were in the world, and how you would go about securing those opportunities. But everything you do doesn't add up to that. Guess what? There's a fallacy there or an untruth, a lie.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, the text says, if you know the truth will do what to you?
Make you free from the lie. Because I know that's what I was doing. I was lying to myself, man. I knew I was lying to myself. Man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There are a lot of good people, sir. They're not living according to a truth in their lives. Now,
a lot of good people.
The framers, when we come back, we're going to talk about the framers' words. We hold these truths to be self-evident. I want to understand what means. Who is we? What truth? And who is it evident to? When we come back, okay? give me a minute. On the other side of this break. On the other side of this break, that's what I want to deal with for the next 30 minutes here. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. You can call us here at 657-383-0944. We're happy to engage you. We'll be right back.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply Click the red sticker for details.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is yours truly, Reverend Dockery. And we're talking straight tonight. Our topic is We Hold These Truths. We just left for our break, and the question that was posed to the floor in the listening audience, when somebody said we hold these truths to be self-evident, you know, we'll talk about what they said after that. Who is we? What truth? And how? Who is it self-evident to? Who is there a basis of evidence for? We got a caller here, 615-1098. How you doing, my friend?
Yes, sir. How are you today, sir? Tonight?
Well, sorry. Yes, sir. Tonight. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I want to understand who they talking to. When it comes to young people, and particularly those who we are closest to, does this apply? We hold these truths to be self-evident? Is that just for whites? Is that for Hispanic, Asian, Greek, Italian? Who is that for? Who is that statement pertaining to? Anybody want to
from
comment?
My point of view,
yes, sir.
For people all over the world.
Okay.
People
okay.
all over the world of different colors. Martin Luther King, sir. It was
okay.
for all people, not just black people, white people, Asian people. It was for people all over the world.
I see.
And it was not only reaching out to America, he was reaching out for the whole world. Mind me, I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, you can correct me.
Well, let me. I was reading from the Declaration of Independence. This is the words of Thomas Jefferson. And, of course, at the beginning of the show, we talked about what Jesus said in John 8:31-32, right? But I'm at a dilemma here because what I see is that there are people who, we just lost the caller now, there are people who are in a quandary about what's real and if certain rights and privileges apply to them. Now, we were just talking about people who are living a lie. The assumption is you're free. You can do what you want to, go where you want to go, and you can be whoever you want to be. But really, can you? Pastor, what about that?
Well, I'm still dealing with the word, the truth, you know, and that by truth, you know, it's frustration of who's walking in it.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So I can be the witness, you know, myself. I know that I lied to myself for a long time. But
it does it make you a good? Let me, I don't mean to be rude, but let me ask you.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
If we lie to ourselves to make ourselves feel good, does that make us a bad person?
No, not at all. I mean, you can think that you know the truth, think that you're walking in the truth.
Okay.
And can be doing contrary to that. So it's not that you're a bad person. Because, you know, you think that you're right. You think you're walking in the truth. I mean, because, hey, I'm my best example. But when I found out that I was walking in a lie, that I said it out of my mouth, I remember saying it, and, you know, I found out it was a lie. But when the truth came up, I got free from the lie. You see? And it all
okay.
had to do with me trusting in me. And I didn't, you know, when you say something about the truth and who it's for, he said, if you continue in my word. I mean, like, okay, I wasn't in his word. And so I was walking a lie. I was living a lie.
Okay. Okay.
And
well,
let me use
this example, Pastor. You know, I worked with a couple of young men over the years to assist them with filling out applications and making the resume and finding jobs and things of that nature, right? And many of them were quick to say, I know how to do it, and I deserve this opportunity, and, you know, they just got to believe me. I don't have to impress nobody, right? I think they may have made the argument that it's self-evident that I got a right to a job. No. I got a right to respect it like anybody else. And for people to assume that I'm just as valuable and productive as anyone else. But guess what happened, Professor? Once the opportunity were extended to him, when the opportunity was extended to him, either they couldn't or they wouldn't come through. I want to believe. I want to believe that the best part of it, as I have found many good people, when it comes to acting on even a thought that is given from divinely from on high, people become afraid. And this is not just black people. But I've certainly dealt with more of African-American, Negro, black, and colored folk than anybody else. They become afraid and question whether or not they even have a right or they have the ability to be there. And here's the odd thing about it. We built America. When I say we, I'm talking about Negro people, people of Negro descent. We built this country, literally.
That's amazing.
Literally. There is no question of our ability, our skill set, talent. We actually have made great contributions to the arts, the sciences, and the culture of America. So there is no question that we have a skill set, a talent, that there
All right.
is something valuable about us, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's no question that young men can do more than play basketball or football or can sing or rap. You heard KRS-One. The things that they were told about the American dream, they say we can't trust that. What makes a young person doubt their right to the their place in the United States? Now, we hear often people say, well, I'm American. I'm not from Africa. And there are certain generations of people who were not born on African soil. They were born in America. If we look at the definition of naturalization, that makes them an American. That's the argument. That's the legal argument, right? But the truth of the matter is when it comes to the word in the legal lexicon, the American legal lexicon, jus soli, it has to do with the birthright or ancestry of your forefathers. How many young people are living on that truth, that your ancestry, your origin established well before just your American experience? Nobody should ever counsel that out, and we have much to be proud of as contributors to American heritage, culture, and civilization. But there's another aspect to us, I would argue, that we should really consider. And when we look at the fact that the framers said we hold these truths to be self-evident, is it reasonable for us to think that you're included in we, even if you live in a housing project, even if you dropped out of high school? If you dropped out of high school, you're poverty stricken. Huh? Does that apply to you?
I would say.
That's the question. We. You know, they use we, the people of the United States. I think that one of the rubs for a lot of good people is the understanding that after slavery ended, people like Frederick Douglass really strived hard to ensure that you were not just freed from the physical bondage, but he pressed Abraham Lincoln to the point of saying, listen, you've got to make sure that they're treated as human. Because immediately after slavery was stricken down, 14 southern states went to black codes, which was another form of legal oppression, until it was stricken down in 1868 with the 14th Amendment. And then they moved into Jim Crow strategies, basically. Still other ways to suppress the social and political identity of people who are now American citizens. I understand that history and we can learn from it. What troubles me today, though, is where we are today when it comes to young people all across America and them acting on those not only God-given rights, but rights entitled through the U.S. Constitution. How do we get them to understand that, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that you have just as much right and opportunity as anyone else? I think we got a caller back there. Caller, we lost you there earlier.
Oh, yeah, sorry. But
that's okay.
I was listening. I was listening, and you said we're the people. Well, back in history, I may be wrong, but I would speak and say that when they were talking about we the people, they was only talking about the Anglo-Saxons.
Right.
And you mentioned Frederick Douglass, you know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And he was in the ear of Abraham Lincoln. Abraham
Correct.
Lincoln, even though he was a Republican, he had no intentions of freeing the slaves because he had slaves, but he had no other choice because in order for him to win, he had to free the slaves and have them to fight also.
Correct. Correct.
When I think about Martin Luther King, we hold these truths to be self-evident. From my view, you can correct me if I'm wrong, he was talking about people all over the world, not only here in the United States of America. Concerning what's going on now with the millennials, which you're a baby boomer like I, the millennials, they're killing off each other. Killing
that's true.
Generations.
That is so true. Yeah, that's right. I mean, fact, man.
And I realize that there isn't too much of anything that we can do about it. Your president speak on it, you know, killing each other and things of that nature. But I don't mean to get off the subject, but I can add drugs and a whole lot of other things. But here in America, everything's all races of people were supposed to came from blacks. The Asians say, well, yes, blacks were first, and we are here to help them. But when are we going to help ourselves? I'm listening.
Great question.
I'm listening to you, sir. I'm listening.
All right, that's a very good question. Let me just go back. You're correct that the incidents of 1857. Where the Missouri Compromise failed, the Missouri Compromise failed, and Missouri was the dividing line between the North and the South, particularly the interest of free states and slave states. And you're correct. Lincoln had a conundrum on his hand. And how do we preserve the Union? And the reality is, gentlemen, is it boiled down to who will control Congress. Who would have the most votes? Because you heard of 3/5 compromise, where it was considered that slaves would be able to be counted as votes. Well, that gave the South an advantage, an unfair advantage, northern states felt like anyway. And Lincoln being the new president, you're right, vacillating over those issues of 1857 and other issues in the country, he was forced to say, listen, we got to do something. And the fair thing is just not to have any slaves. Let's move toward industrial revolution that was coming by the 1900s. That was the big fight. But you're right. Perhaps one of the reasons Douglass had to press him continuously is because the interest wasn't, if, as we read history, I think we can draw the conclusion, the primary interest was not necessarily to show deference to Negroes who were slaves, as it was to end this conundrum that the country was going through, this quandary that they were in it relative to the issues of you know, the fight over slavery and freedom. Of course, there were many people in the Congress who had advocated freeing the slaves for some time. Many of them owned slaves, oddly enough. But, you know, you raise a good point. When we talk about young people today, though, I would argue that subconsciously their ignorance is the slavery today. What has got many good people caught in a bind and a fix is not knowing the truth about who they are, what their rights and privileges are in America, and how to take full advantage of them, which may be why they find themselves always in conflict with authority figures, the police, even with their families, their parents. It may explain why it is when they see one another, they're ready to take a pistol and to drop a brother in a heartbeat over drugs, over sex, over gambling, and all sorts of things, material things. I, Pastor, what do you think? Pastor Waller?
It all boiled down. I'm listening to you, Pastor. It all boiled down to motives, it sounds like. What is the motive?
Mm-hmm.
Then what are the motives now? What were
right.
the motives then? You said something about they had to do certain things because of this particular reason and things like that. So what came from the heart?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what, you know that they say what's from the heart or reach the heart? Okay, who stands
right.
firm on what it is that we can do? You said we contributed to a lot of things in the past that had to do with building so many things. So we do have gifts and talents and qualifications capable of doing this and another. So where and who caused something different to take place where we're not able to perform that?
Right.
You know
right.
something about having making your name or stumble, or, you know, you causing them to stumble. What's causing us to stumble? What's causing us to gun each other down? Is it the gun?
I got an answer for that.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Okay. We are human beings. We are supposed
mm-hmm.
to be sophisticated animals, right? You know, you
right.
know, every, you know, you know. So therefore, what we revert back to is like an animal in the wild. You know,
wow.
they compete for women. They fight for women, you know. You know, it all reverts back to what Reverend Doctor was stating, you know, the animalistic ways. But yet and still,
mm-hmm.
we're supposed to be sophisticated animals. We tend
right.
to revert back to animalistic ways, even when it comes to women,
wow.
when it comes to
wow.
territory, block,
right.
whether you set in dope
right.
or not. We revert back to the animalistic ways, the ways of the animals that are out in the wild. You know,
mm.
we're supposed to be sophisticated. You know,
mm-hmm.
animalistic ways. And I
wow.
agree with Reverend Dockery 100%. This is what it all reverts back to. You know, I want the prettiest girl on the block, so therefore, if anyone try to talk, I'm going to revert to violence. You know, I want the women, so I'm going to revert back to the animalistic ways.
Wow, that's deep, though.
And who's able to do that? Who's capable of causing that to take place? That's the key to it right there. If you know that she's the beautiful girl on the block, she's the beautiful girl, she is that. And instead of admiring this guy who have this beautiful girl, you said it comes down to a gunplay for whatever the reason is, because of this beautiful
yeah.
girl. Amazing.
Right. You know, I mean, just like the King of the Jungle, you know, it's only going to be one rule.
Mm.
If their brothers running a pack, their brothers are going to do what they do. You know, two brothers, they're going to do what they do, and I don't have a pack.
I got you. Now, listen to this part right here. You know that song that says, beauty is on the skin deep. So
yes.
What makes that woman beautiful? She's beautiful out there.
Oh, you're right.
Then they say, show me a girl that's fine, and I'll show you one with true love and every time. Who's really beautiful? I heard say, beauty was ugly, but she was all right.
Oh,
so,
man.
So who calls us to do that? That's what I want to know. Who calls us to be like that, man? That's sad. But I got you on the phone with the thing.
Greed. Again, you know, I want everything for myself.
Yeah, man.
Let me add this to what you're saying, brother. It's the lie that we convince ourselves to believe I gotta do this to be somebody. I gotta kill somebody else, tear somebody else down, demean them in order for me to be the top dog, the main one on the block.
Exactly.
I ain't never had nothing. I don't have a very good feeling about who I am, what my purpose is. So the only way I can express myself is through violence and dominance.
Oh,
and that's wrong.
Goodness.
At a malicious way.
That's the lie right there. That's the lie right there.
Exactly.
There you go.
In Christian counseling, they call that lie-based thought, where you convince yourself.
Repeat that, please.
They call that a lie-based thought. In other words, you construct a belief about something or someone that says I have to respond or engage them behaviorally in a certain manner in order for me to be comfortable. In order for me to exist, I have to engage them this way. And too often that's in demise and destruction. And nobody can live a happy life in a neighborhood like that.
Yes, the animal kingdom. In the animal kingdom, you're correct. But we're supposed to be dominant, the most sophisticated, the most intelligent, the caretakers. Well, what do? Revert back to living like the animals that we're supposed to caretake.
Right.
Yeah, man. That's basically, you know, is what's going on. So what do we do about it? And I think this is going to be actually very interesting to discover something. You know, like you said, in my discovery, I discovered that something can be done about that. Starting today. You know, starting today. Because that, what he just said, that animal behavior, because of this beautiful girl, caused all this to come to pass. I mean, who was able to do that?
Right.
You know, I just got to say that. You know, who's causing that? And I don't think that we're just intentionally turning on each other. It's got to be a cause. It's got to be a cause. Who's causing it? It's just like this right here.
Go ahead.
I wanted to share this. You know, because the word of God says God would cause us to triumph. That means he done something on purpose. Cause us to. And it's the same thing with who's causing us to stumble. If we know God calls us to triumph means to come up with a victory, then who and what is causing us to stumble? Who's doing that? Who's capable of doing that today? Now, I'm not talking about back when. Who's causing it today? We look around and see everything that's going on. So now it looks like we really actually are losing.
Yeah.
And I believe it. I'm first to say, it looks like it. That thing called it seemed like it, you know. It seems like, you know. But that's what it's about. That it seems like that does not mean we're losing.
That's true. Now that's hold that point. You said it seems that way, but just because it looks like that does not mean that's based in fact or reality.
No, it doesn't.
Interestingly enough, to your point, Pastor. The process that's known as social engineering, and this is used in psychology and sociology, when you construct, there is a economist economist that goes back to the 1834. His name will come to me in just a second. Basically what he said, gentlemen, if you give me control of a nation's economy, I can show you how to control their people. And when you think about the fact that for the poorest and most dangerous and the most destructive people in America, when they find themselves struggling economically to be independent, you will find that there is a high propensity for violence and self-destruction. Survival, in their mind, dictates that I be like the Wild Wild West or living in the jungle.
Yeah.
Because they have,
they have all the women.
They have all. Hey, drive nice cars, have all the women, right?
Hey, a real
doctor. Yes, sir.
Can I add one more animal? The hippopotamus. Just one more.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, but you made a profound point, and that is, I like the way you phrase that. We're supposed to be the sophisticated. What makes us human is that we're homo sapiens sapiens. In other words, we're thinking beings. That's what that means. We have the ability to ration, to reason, learn from an experience through inductive and deductive reasoning, change our behavior. Something happens when you live in you grow up in a condition that does not afford you the knowledge of those things. There are young people, gentlemen, who are not aware that in 1865 you were set free formally as ratified by the Constitution on December 31st. They're not aware that in 1868, January 31st, I believe it was, you got right to citizenship through the 14th Amendment. They're not aware that on February the 20th that you became invested with the right to vote. In other words, to determine who represents you in government. And that brings me to this point that I wanted to make. We're coming down to our last 30 minutes here. But let me just introduce this thought, and then we'll do that last break and come back real briefly. That to secure these rights, governments are established among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. I want to hit that when we come back. Because I think that speaks to why so many people feel like in order to prove that I'm king of the jungle, I got to take all the women, I got to control all the money, and I got to keep everybody else in fear. When we come back to that, I want to hit that. I think that's a very key point. This last message, and then we'll wrap up the show with that.
Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times, and locations for our traveling educational lecture series and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the homepage. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online. Yeah,
You're listening to Talk Straight. Yes, this is a talk format where we keep it 100. We keep it real. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're on tonight with our special guest or our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, and a caller tonight who's been graciously sharing with us in this dialogue. Gentlemen, you heard the young man essentially say, I have nothing to offer a woman, I have nothing to offer myself. Nothing to offer society or the world, but guess what? I'm still fly. Is that dog gonna hunt?
Nope, I doubt that very seriously. He has nothing to offer himself, so what are you saying? He don't exist? He's just a walking dead?
He said, I'm still fly. Hey, caller, he said, I'm fly still
what?
Fly.
I doubt that.
Now, when we left for the break, I put this on the floor. Perhaps one of the reasons individuals like that who like nice things, who want to be to experience the American dream, that is having material things to be respected and to be seen as being fly by everybody. It says that to secure these rights, those being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in America, governments are established among men. Now, here's our problem, gentlemen. I would argue with you today that because collectively, that means all of us together, we have not established system or rule of governance for ourselves, we find ourselves often being governed by someone else. Because it says that the government only derives its power from the consent of those who are governed. We got a lot of young people who say, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. No, I ain't doing it no more. I ain't fighting. I ain't happy. Well, you haven't governed yourself in such a way that you're productive and that you're making a healthy, positive contribution to society. Then why should someone really give you much room when you're depending on the government for everything and you're not providing anything? Is that an unfair statement, gentlemen?
That's pretty deep. You know, you
speaking your phone for me. Speaking your phone for me a little bit.
You said they're looking for the government to give them everything.
Right.
You say,
you're looking for. Go ahead, Pastor. No, go ahead. What were you saying?
When you say you're looking for the government to give them everything, you know, that's part of being able to deal with truth or the lie. Which one have more value? What the government is giving you or what you're standing on concerning truth. And so
the
truth is that if you want to get free, you have to know the truth.
Right.
And if the government is giving you things to keep you living the lie,
come on now.
That could be part of what's going on. I mean, I just
it's
don't know.
It's a trap, Pastor.
Watch out, man. I've always said that, man. Yeah, because I know for myself that that's what it was then. You know, so I knew it was a trap, man. I mean, you know, I got captured, so there's no need me pretending like I didn't. I definitely got captured, without a doubt.
I'm going to go ahead and say it now because this is Talk Straight, and if a caller want to talk with me about this, you can reach me at 615-498-4669 or email me. Go to the website, www.bfcinstitute.com. My email there, my phone number, get with me. I don't mind. Let's talk about it. But, gentlemen, there are some brothers who, all of their natural life, if it wasn't for they mama, they sister, they baby mama, they freak, or somebody else, they wouldn't have a place to live. You said the truth gonna make me what?
That's right.
Gonna make
That's
me free. The first thing I need to do, the first thing I need to do to set these cats free is to get them to understand you have got to govern yourself in such a way that you control your economic means. And when you do that, you in a position now to control the politics of your community and your environment, your neighborhood. Until you do that,
I agree 100%.
Go ahead, Carl.
May I intervene?
Yeah, go ahead. If I had to
depend on the government, if I had to depend on the government to do anything for me, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my girlfriend, I may as well go to prison. And that's not the place that I need to be. I need to awaken myself. I need to strive to educate myself, you know, from elementary school to graduating high school and going to college and things of that nature and getting the knowledge that I need to survive in this world. We cannot depend on the government to do anything. We have to look within ourselves and move ourselves forward.
Absolutely.
You know? And this is the problem. You know, you can't depend on the government, you know, because even though people elect people to go into the government, that does not mean that they're going to go up there and do what they want them to do. You can't depend on the government. Everything comes back to you.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were talking about, may I go back in time if you don't mind?
Sure, sure. Go right ahead.
I want to go back into the year 1600. I mentioned Anthony Johnson. Anthony Johnson, he didn't come over on a slave ship. You know, there's a lot about slavery that a lot of black people don't know. White people don't know either. You know, I like Anthony Johnson because he gave me a good insight on what was going on in 1600 coming up until 1800, you know. But I'm going to come back. We should not depend on government to govern us.
Mm-hmm.
We must govern ourselves, like you said, Reverend Dockery. We know right from wrong. We know the laws of the land. You know, we abide by, we adjust ourselves, we educate ourselves. And see, this is one of the biggest things, education. You know, I don't have a doctorate degree, but I have a degree. You know, I don't know everything, but still, I'm still thriving. I'm listening to you. And I'm still learning. You know, I'm listening to the pastor. Everything is fine. But I sum this up and say, let's get out of those animalistic ways. When it comes to money, a lot of people, hey, I got money, I got women, I got this, I control that. You know, again, we go back into the animalistic ways. What about giving? What about helping?
Absolutely.
You know, like you were saying, you know, let's, you know, try to, you know, try to, you know, get people up to a point to where they, that they can think for themselves and along the way they can help someone else. And then truths will be held self-evident.
There you go. And now, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, Carl. I don't mean to be rude to cut you off, but I thought about how Joshua made the declarative statement, as for me and my house of the age or the time frame of Joshua. He was doing the Old Testament disposition where you had 12 tribes that moved from one location to another. And before the whole tribe would move, Moses will ask the heads of each of those four quadrants to make sure that every man in his family kept up with them. And every man spoke for his family. They established themselves with some sort of means of procuring the resources or materials necessary to take care of their family. Therefore, gentlemen, they spoke for them. And what's missing in America today in 2017 is a lot of good people struggle to find that sort of economic independence. You know, we fight about some of the national arguments we hear about Republicans and Democrats and things of that nature. But the real truth, if you ask me, you ought to be asking yourself, how can I secure the resources for me to be economically independent, which will lead to my independence from everything and everyone else? That's our challenge.
Including the government.
Including the government.
I agree.
First the government. You know, I tell people all the time, I grew up in the housing projects, and I was a welfare baby. But one of the things that stuck with me, they used to call me, Outcast, Dirty. They used to call our family the Dirty Dockers.
Okay.
Don't ask me why, but that was maybe because we went outside and had dirty clothes on from time to time. But, I mean, that stuck with me, man. I said, I'm not going to ever go back. I don't want to be in the project.
They call me Outcast, so, you know, I mean, you know, the Millers and whatever, they call me Outcast. Hey, I take it. Okay. I'm fine with that. I can live with that.
Even at a young age, though, brother, I was determined that I'm going to change that for me. This ain't what I want. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I think that why so many cats turn to illegal activities and that violent type behavior and that jungle mentality is they're fighting within themselves to find what we're talking about.
For what?
You know,
when all boil down, it amounts to nothing.
It really does.
Pure animals. Sorry.
I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
No. You raised a good point, and I'm gonna go back to something that Pastor Wallace, and we read from his book, Still High. And the reality is that when people wake up, Pastor, and they say to themselves, man, I'm sinking in quicksand, and I'm in too deep.
Yeah.
Do you give up, or is that the time to dig deep within yourself and find your deliverance?
Yeah.
Dig deep within yourself.
Yeah.
What do you say, Professor?
You know, that's the time to holler for help. That's what I had to do when I discovered that. Being in too deep, you know, I couldn't get myself up out of it. See, and there's nothing wrong with being humble enough to know that. See, I had gotten to a point that being in too deep didn't come from me thinking that it was a harm being in that deepness, you know. But when I discovered that I was in too deep, it's just like David said, in my iniquity has gone over my head. Like a heavy burden is too heavy for me. You know, in other words, you know, hey, it's too heavy for me. I need some help. You see? And so, you know, and that's what's happening. And a lot of people think, I heard somebody say, you know, if you like, you call on God as if you ain't supposed to call on God. I'm like, wait a minute, hold it. You mean telling me, you know, that you when we talked about it before, Pastor Dr. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay,
right.
That's the truth. So I was in too deep, so I had to utilize my faith. That's all I had, which was more than enough. And that's when he did the call.
Okay.
I called upon the Lord, and he heard my cry. Simple.
Right.
Now, I didn't know the word of God, but I'm just saying that for an example. When you're in too deep, put him a part of it. Just like I said, look like we're losing right now. But let us mess around and put him in it.
Wow.
And call on him. See, he took a losing hand. Yeah, and see what happened. Because he took a losing hand, Pastor. I'm talking about that's my hand. I'm losing every day. Look, I'm winning. But I was losing every day for all those years. And I know, you know, you never heard about playing spades before. You pick up your hand, and the hand is still the same hand, and it's nothing but a losing hand. That faith is not a mustard seed. I put it in God's hand. He took that losing hand and made it out of a winning hand. And they don't send me pretending like he didn't, because had he not, I would have still been in it a little bit deeper than I was already in it. So, you know, I'm just proud with what I had to say, man. I had to call on him. It don't make no difference. What I tried to do for myself, it got worse.
Wow.
And that's,
I got a question. You know? I got a question.
That's what
for you. I got a question. If you took an African-American male from a ghetto city, you took a white male from a wealthy community, you took an Asian male from a Chinese community, and you took a Hispanic male from a Hispanic community, blindfolded all of them, flew them in a Cessna airplane, and dropped all of them in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, which one of them would survive?
You put them all together. You didn't show, put a, you show laid something down right then. You named so many different ones, and you said gather them all together?
And you
and
dropped all them, of them.
And
dropped all of them out of a small Cessna airplane into the Atlantic Ocean. Which then will survive?
Which
me.
One will survive? Which one?
Me.
Yes,
me. Black one, because I can swim.
He said me.
I can float. Me. Me.
That's all right, brother. That's all right.
I learned how to swim at a young age.
Oh, you see what he was doing?
Hey, Reverend Doc, does swimming have anything to do with it? I came up in the
well,
country, so you know I learned how to swim in the summer because that's all we had.
Well, listen, gentlemen, you're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Really,
that's
what
I'm
matters
saying.
Is here's what really matters is what's upstairs.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Consider that.
Mm-hmm.
That
what's
if
really
you is. If you find yourself in the midst of circumstances beyond your control and
beyond
not to your
control.
Own making, and not to your own making, and you're not in control of your thought and your actions, brother, you're subject to drown.
That's right. So you make
right.
They call you, you rescue. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Basically, they would say that black men would drown because the black would drown because a lot of blacks can't swim. So maybe the Asian and the white will not drown, but the black will drown
that.
Because they see a lot of black. Well, I know I can swim.
Look,
at early age. But what's the answer, Reverend Doctor? Reverend Doctor, give me a minute. Come on now, Reverend Doctor. Get an answer.
Okay, here's the truth. I raised the question. Here's what I think is a good framework. And this is what the framework, what Jefferson is alluding to. When God made man, he made everyone, irregardless of their ethnic origin. You were made with certain gifts and talents. And the more educated and the more astute you are about who you are and what your capabilities are, you can make it through anything. So it really don't matter. All of them can survive if they're raised right.
I agree.
Now, what the point of mixing the different ethnicities is because it's easy for people to assume that if you put the black man up against other ethnic groups, that he's going to be the last. But that does not have to be the truth for you.
Excuse me.
Well, that's...
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Am I lying? No, you're not lying. I told you I wouldn't drown. Go ahead.
I mean, that seems to be the natural assumption. That if you put the black man up against other people of other experiences, that he's going to lose. He's going to come in last. Wrong answer. And what we got to tell these young shawties out here in the street is I don't give a darn what you done been through, brother. If you get your man right, you can compete with anybody.
Yes, sir.
In the world.
I agree.
In the world. Don't let nobody hold you a prisoner to your past. Or to what you don't know, know the truth, and it'll make you free. Find the truth. Seek
yes, sir.
The truth, and the truth will make you free.
It'll make you free, brother. Man.
And learn more than one skill, because dope selling, you
come on,
to learn
man.
How to swim.
Gotta preach right there.
Get yourself educated.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And see, swimming is not about the water. You swim with education.
There you go.
You know, educate. You know, you don't just want to be a basketball player or a singer
right.
or things of that nature.
Right.
Educate yourself.
Right.
Educate yourself. You
what
know,
Big
you,
Mike say?
You have a lot of. No, listen, sir.
What Big Mike say? I ain't got no gas. I got my Gucci suit, but I'm still fly. It's a figment of your imagination.
Exactly.
Wow.
You know, basketball player, why not be a doctor? Why not be a teacher?
Come on,
why not be a scientist?
But
is
look,
that the truth,
even
Reverend
if you're
doctor?
Not a, well, even if you're not a doctor or a lawyer or a scientist, be a good father and raise individuals to make contributions to society.
I agree 100%,
how about
sir.
That? How about
yes,
that?
Yes, sir. I agree.
Do that well. Raise a family well in the fear and the admiration of the Lord. Let that work for you.
I agree.
I mean, you understand what
but,
I'm saying?
You know they called me outcast, but you said, no, he's not outcast, he's incast. Thank you, sir. I'll give my true name later.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. But we do appreciate your dialogue. With, you know, here's the truth, gentlemen. As we move forward, I was talking to a, when I was in Chicago, I was talking to a fellow who owned a clothing store on Madison. That was one of the areas that was hit hard when King got killed. And we got 2 minutes, so I'm going to make it real short. He said last summer, man, dudes came in there and they broke into 40 stores and they just looted the place. And the next thing you know, them Negroes were selling his products out on the street, man. It's not funny. It's not funny. It's not
well,
funny.
You know, I know. It, you know.
He saw people coming in the store trying to sell him his own goods back, man.
Yeah.
But
only
that's
in
what
Chicago, not in Tennessee.
That's what happens when you're hungry and there's something to do. We, man, listen, we got less than 2 minutes. Gentlemen, we thank you all. This is Talk Straight. Archive our show. Go to the website. Learn about what we're doing. Support us. There's T-shirts, caps. There's a pen. There's a portfolio and several other things. And by all means, the book Still High is there for you to get. www.dfcinstitute.com. PayPal is our source where you can make a secure contribution to our call. We're 501c3 based out of Nashville, Tennessee. We appreciate your time. This is Talk Straight, your host, Ruben Dockery. Look forward to seeing you this coming Thursday. And God willing, we'll be able to get back with you and share more dialogue. Again, this is Talk Straight, and we're on our way out of here. God bless you all, and we'll see you Thursday.